Hi guys, welcome back to this week's episode of NymFed Alumni. I'm here with Biz and Sam, and this week we're talking about what we're going to call the alt print, which seems to be a set of visual markers that the culture industry is placing on certain pop stars and, you know, even people like actors and other celebrities, where they're very obviously trying to appeal to certain sensibilities that have to do with like youth culture and a general alternative vibe. And so I guess we'll be talking a lot about authenticity and the dog whistles of Gen Z styling. I don't know, does that make sense?
Dog whistle's a good word for it. Yeah,
it's like we've obviously covered some similar topics in the Mass Bushwick episode, but this I honestly wouldn't say is like the girl version of that. Like, I feel like Mass Bushwick, we were looking a lot at specifically the collateral of the Robert Pattinson, GQ, Jack Bridgeland photo shoot. And this is kind of looking at how this is channeled through women and pop stars, because I guess the inspiration for this episode was Camila Cabello having a huge rebrand in the past couple of weeks, and people are saying it's very inspired by people like Charlie XCX, and looking at it, there's a lot of Rosalia as well. So yeah, like Alexi said, we're gonna kind of parse through that and also look at, I guess, where we're at in the alt landscape. Like, I feel like we do a little check-in on this every once in a while, and it's like interesting to track over time.
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting. Something that's always struck me about the past decade or so, maybe the 2000s onward, is how excessively normal a lot of pop music is. Like, if you kind of look at mainstream pop music from like the 70s, the 80s, you look at Prince, you look at David Bowie, and there is like a bizarro element to it. And something happened with the pop music machine where things kind of normalized, in a sense that I think weirdness and oddness was stigmatized generally, but I think that was like a brief moment, and now we're like re-entering people trying to like fumble around with like bizarre aesthetics as part of their brand. But like, something's not clicking. Like, the puzzle piece is a bit misshapen. It's not fully hitting the way that like a Prince or David Bowie type would, you know? But there's a lot of kind of like alternative bents right now. Personally, sure, I share this experience with many listeners, as my TikTok feed has been like overtaken by an individual named Tara Yummy and her like ex-boyfriends that look like Cartoon Network characters. And like, I don't really engage with this content. This is totally an unwarranted and unwanted takeover, but it's like an algorithm worm. Like, she's really taken over really strongly. And I think it's kind of obviously very reminiscent of like MySpace era scene queens. And she was almost like a canary in the coal mine of like, okay, now more alternative aesthetics are becoming a mainstream kind of staple in a way that they probably weren't before. We could talk more about her later though, because that's more of a... Yeah.
She's also like, she's kind of like the opposite of Camila Cabello, where when you see Camila doing like alternative Caroline Polachek, Charlie XCX drag, you're like, fuck no. But when you see Tara, is it Tara or Tara?
I think Tara.
Tara. When you see Tara doing it, Tara. It has the effect of like the oddly satisfying videos where they're squeezing stuff out of sponges, in my opinion.
Or sanding down wood. I agree. There's something very algorithm worm about it. It feels classical internet, social media, digital. You know, there's like a real historical precedent for this in influencers. And I used to think it was because a lot of the scene queens and like alt people were very makeup tutorial adjacent. It was like early makeup stuff, which feels like, you know, when you combine emo and scene and alternative with like makeup artistry.
Oh yeah, the Bailey Sarian of it all.
Bailey Sarian core. It just feels like it's like some sort of iteration of like corpse paint or something. But I'm starting to realize with the Tara Yummy thing that actually there's just a much broader kind of connection to social media and influencing between scene queens and the internet, you know, than just like makeup and tutorials and like being kind of gay in like a weird way. You know what I mean?
I almost feel like Gen Z, at least for me, like I feel like I have embryonic memories of Tila Tequila and like that era of MySpace celebrity. Like, I was never on MySpace. I didn't use it, but it feels like something that imprinted on me it feels almost like Dune, you know, like my memories from the embryo from like a past life. And I think that is what is being awoken in Gen Z when it comes to Tara Yummy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it also, like, I think a lot of the reactions to her too, because I listened to her on the canceled podcast with Tana Mojo. And Tana and Mojo was like, oh my God, like, actually, I'm very alternative. Like, I know that I'm blonde, but it's like secretly, like, I like love listening to like rock music and like wearing black nail polish or whatever, you know? And like, it just feels like
all Zillennials are so like that though. Like, they all think they secretly are like into pop punk, but I'm like, this is literally what was playing on the radio all the time. Like,
I know. Well, that's what it, yeah. It's like, I think the selling point for alternative anything and anything kind of like bizarre is that like you have a much more intimate relationship with it than typical pop music. Like, it feels like more true to you somehow. I feel like that applies to even things on the Charlie XCX end of the spectrum, but like, yeah, I think it's like really funny that everyone's become so enamored with these like cartoonish, like weird looking kind of scene kids, and then there's just all these like rebrands that are like Megan Thee Stallion's anime Comic Con cosplay rebrand. Like, it just feels like,
wait, pause, I feel like that has been a thing for a really long time. It was brought to my attention, like, all of her early mixtapes,
Megan Thee Stallion thing,
all of her early mixtapes, yeah, she was like always referencing anime and like doing cosplay like from the jump.
Really?
Yeah,
so she unbranded.
Yeah, she unbranded to be a mainstream, and then she's like reminding people that she's a nerd. Like, you remember that video, she's like, this is discrimination against nerds everywhere.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it feels true to her, but it just wasn't what she was forefronting in her public persona. But it just, yeah, it's interesting that that's what she's doing now. And it just kind of feels like high school again. You know, it's like the emos and scenes are running around, the theater kids, you know, the cosplayers. Like, I'm kind of weirded out. Like, what's going on, guys? You know, like, I'm getting scared.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Taylor Swift's fault. She like represents like the actual hegemonic, like popular girl, like pop canon. And everyone's like, okay, we don't know what we want, but it's definitely not this. And so we're like fracturing off into the cafeteria tables of like scene kids and theater kids and the Glee Club.
It's so true. Oh my God. That's so true.
I feel like with Tara specifically, her look, she looked like Mila Kunis. And that also must be like an embryonic kind of memory awakening thing for people, because obviously Mila Kunis is like conventionally beautiful and still is, but she doesn't do like e-girl makeup, you know, she's not wearing that sort of makeup that we specifically tie to being big on TikTok, which I think is kind of cool actually.
She does look like Mila Kunis. I like that she's Persian too, which it just feels like there's an underrepresentation of Persian girls on the internet. And as somebody who is a very big fan of Persian girls, you know, my best friend is Persian. I'm starting to sound like that clip of Cameron Diaz where she's like, I grew up with Filipinos, Lumbia.
Like, Adobo.
But yeah, I have mixed feelings over Tara Yummy, but shout out to her. We'll see where she goes.
Strong feelings. But okay, maybe we should just get started but we should just describe what's going on with Camila Cabello and like the signs and symbols.
I can do this because I went through every single one of her Instagram posts today, because basically she initiated her rebrand, which is also indicating her new album cycle, which is her fourth album, by clearing her Instagram. And she relaunched with a grainy camcorder self-shot video of her newly PC Rudy blonde hair. And she's also has like an exposed black thong. So that's kind of like the, I guess, distilled version of it. But then beyond that, she's wearing a lot of kind of like diesel inspired moto-esque silhouettes, a lot of distressed denim. Like I said, the big thing here is like she changed from being a brunette to being a, I don't know how to describe that hair texture. It's like blonde, but it's always kind of wavy and looks scrunched or something.
Yeah, beachy waves. Yeah. In like a
weird
way. It's
like a stringy beachy wave, though. It's like your hair was wet.
Christina Aguilera? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe something there is her reference point.
Like dirty. Yeah, yeah.
It does look dirty. It's crazy that they bleached her hair and then made her like wait until it looked like it had grown out.
I know. And I guess along with this visual rebrand, she's completely rebranded her sound as a musician with a teaser for the lead single for her upcoming album, which is called I Love It, L-U-V, obviously. And it's like basically a straight ripoff of Charli XCX and the hyperpop sound. It's super repetitive. It's really pitched up. And I think, yeah, you can basically immediately listen to it for like literally 1 second and see that's like her, what her reference is. So she's combining kind of I guess her visual obviously is inspired by the hyperpop girls, like with the Diesel and kind of like the Balenciaga references, but that has become, I guess, a bit more untethered to hyperpop, but like her sound is so still definitively hyperpop, which is a huge departure for her, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like it's such a weird pipeline too, because like I can definitely see like hyperpop artists becoming pop, which you can kind of see that with Kim Petras, as much as we all have mixed feelings about her. I guess she went more pop with Body Shop, but like it's weird to go from pop to hyperpop. Like that's kind of like a backwards step, you know? Like it's a kind of an odd, like it doesn't feel like a two-way street. It feels very one way, one direction, you know?
I just don't know why she wants to court the like this side of the internet so badly, and like the desperation seems to be really disturbing people. And you know, it's actually been really fun to see people be like, I know that I'm the target audience for this, but like, oh my god, I like it's so easy to resist and it's like so hateable. I mean, the main thing, not to be like obsessed with color analysis, is like her styling, I feel like in the past few years has just always been so like Latina, you know, like it's obviously she's always referencing Selena Quintanilla. She like wore this outfit at the Met Gala that was literally like a Selena recreation. She was always wearing like big gold hoops, and one of her album covers she's like wearing gold hoops and like gladiator sandals and like a floral off the shoulder dress and is like super tan and just like doing the like Latina thing. And so I think that's why it's so disturbing to see her get into this vibe where she's like always wearing chunky silver jewelry now and wearing, I mean, there's this one picture of her in a dance studio where she's like posing so awkwardly and it's like a digital camera photo and her hair is in braids and she's wearing like a warm-up-y outfit that is like a tank top that has bows on it and like maybe a bikini top under it and like gray sweat shorts, but she obviously is getting it wrong because she's wearing like really short socks and it just looks so awkward. And the caption, and she's always like flipping off the camera now too, which is just like, I think she can't think of like another pose for like photos.
She needs to do like the art ho lean or something. We'd love that.
She does, yeah. Also the video of her like leaning out of the car, I think that one really pissed people off.
I'm watching that.
Like she's trying to be like the tube girl of Ubers.
She is trying to be the tube girl of Ubers, yeah. I mean, I think it's like weird because she does look pretty good blonde. Like all things aside, like I don't think it's that bad of a color on her.
I've been thinking long and hard about this, guys. Yes. And like, I need to add something to the NYMFA alumni school of looks maxing or whatever it was called. It's not our school, actually. I don't know what it is. But like, why do some people always look like they're wearing a bad wig? Like that's Camila. It doesn't matter what her hair color is. It could be in like a side braid with her natural color, and she always looks like she's wearing a bad wig. And there's some people who change their hair color all the time, and it somehow manages to look organic. Or even when they're wearing a wig, it still looks really good on them. And I think that just like is what always throws people off from her, I guess specifically this moment, actually.
I actually have a theory on this. As somebody who has hair that is often mistaken as a wig, people have come up to me and pulled my hair as though they want to pull a wig off. People are shocked to hear. I think it's the thickness of the bangs. Like whenever your bangs are very, very thick, people don't realize that it's not a wig. It's just like a hairline thing, you know? If like, cause I have that thing where like my bangs start like literally at like part of my head that was like soft when I was a baby. Like I don't know what that part of my head is, but like that's where my bangs start.
Yeah.
So I just feel like that's what kind of gives it a wig effect.
Yeah, they keep also like teasing her hair and like wanting to add more volume to her, but I think it looks good when it's actually quite like close to the profile of her head. But also I think what's going on here is that she has a big forehead, like it's tall, and then the shape of her head is quite square. So like it's not round. So it is almost like the top of her head is like flat and like falls from a point that looks unnatural. This is what I'm noticing in pictures where her hair is like just completely straight. Like it still looks like a wig, you know?
Yeah.
But the heavy bang is definitely not doing any favors, especially the heavy bang with like, yeah, when she has it like piled up on top, it looks very, very wiggy. She has a lot of cranial height, which is good, I think, if you have a small forehead though.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like the people that I know that have bangs that start at, I don't know, the whatever you said, Sam, like where your skull formed when you were a baby, they have like pretty small foreheads, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I guess it looks a lot more natural.
I have a small forehead, so maybe maybe I'm safe from, but I'm definitely not safe from the wig allegations. Like people ask me in public all the time, like, is that a wig? And I don't know if it's because of the bangs thing or if it's just like I have odd.
I think it's because you have fabulous hair and they're like, I can't believe God made this.
The texture of your hair is also so consistent.
Yeah.
That it looks unreal.
Thank you.
Agreed.
All of Camila's digital photos, like she literally, the only poses she knows are like Gen Z finger heart and middle finger.
I cannot do the Gen Z finger heart to save my life, but
I don't have those bones. I don't have the right like tendons or something. They stopped making those past a, or they started making them past a certain point.
Yeah, it's an evolutionary
happening. It actually is. But like, yeah, the digital camera, like I think we need to ban it. Seriously.
Yeah, I feel bad for whoever's like doing her VHS tapes.
Like filming them?
Yeah, and whoever's processing them.
Oh, true. Yeah. It definitely, like, I like when people whip out the digital camera and, like, at a party. It's nice to have your photo taken that way. But I just don't think I want to see them in any more mirror pics or, like, where you can clearly see that the digital camera is not just the capturer, but a prop.
Yeah, the prop aspect of it is, because there's something obviously very nostalgic and emotional about having a digital camera because it feels like the way that you photographed your childhood if you're in a certain age group that did not have iPhones when you were a kid. So it does feel almost like a bastardization of like kind of a sacred object that was used once to document like your most precious moments, you know? So it's nice when they bring it out at a party because it's like, it almost makes it feel like, oh, like this means so much to everybody that you want to like put it in a photo, like a scrapbook or something. But whenever it's like a selfie or like a hyper pop rebrand use of it, it feels a bit bastardized.
It's just like, Tara Yummy recently posted all of this like VHS or like camcorder footage of a party that she threw for 1 million followers or something.
Oh yeah.
And that kind of made sense to me because I was like, okay, this is like an event that if someone had a camcorder back in the day, like they would bring their camcorder to and record it. What's wrong with Camila Cabello is like, they're just doing like camcorder videos of her like walking and like putting makeup on and like doing the middle finger. And like, it's not capturing anything. It's not capturing an event clearly or like a memory.
They're trying to do that thing where it's like, what's the meme of like the footage they roll in a movie where it's like the dead wife and like the husband's having like a memory, like a sad memory.
Her dead wife montage.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It has something to do with like the also like the fan cam effect. It's like, why are you making like fan cams of yourself?
She's making fan cams of herself. It's so true.
Also, one of the major references is the album cover for Charlie XCX's How I'm Feeling Now, which is like a picture of her wearing like a wife beater and underwear and like laying down in a bed holding a camcorder. Like,
that is one
of those like brazen bits of plagiarism ever, because like Camila Cabello launched the rebrand with like a bunch of pictures of her like holding a camcorder and looking at herself and wearing a wife beater, and it's just all a bit much.
She's got a gay baby dad even though she didn't have a baby with him, Camila Cabello.
Oh yes.
Are they still together?
No, they broke up a while ago, but yeah, I think so many parts of her public persona, including her potentially PR relationship with Shawn Mendes, really contribute to people being skeptical of her rebrand as well. Like, I don't think there's so many aspects. Like the fact that she was first rose to fame through an X Factor, Simon Cowell assembled girl group with Harmony, and also like her having this kind of potentially PR relationship, it makes everything she does seem like it's an industry plant.
That is very true.
Yeah, it's crazy that she was like the breakout star of Fifth Harmony. Not that I've ever listened to Fifth Harmony, but she was like the Harry Styles of, well, no, she was the Zayn. Zayn left One Direction. But yeah, she really has not fulfilled her promise as the leader of the band.
But yeah, we were talking about being niche gay famous before this.
Yeah.
And Normani from Fifth Harmony is like the niche gay famous one. Like everyone really stands her. And she released one song and then like dipped. But she actually, I think she's coming to end Camila as well. She like just announced that she's recording a new album. But there are always like memes on Twitter like being like, oh, Normani is like a DoorDash driver or something, because she like just like promised she would release an album and then released a single and then like it made everyone wait like 4 or 5 years.
I was curious about Normani because prior to Camila's rebrand, I was seeing a lot of content basically identifying Camila as like the pick me of Fifth Harmony. Like she would try to like sing louder than everyone else or like sing on a different harmony. But then I also started seeing content about Normani who, like I said, I never listened to Fifth Harmony, so I don't know why I was getting this content about her, being a DoorDash driver. So I couldn't tell like if they were all just, everyone was being made fun of, but I guess she, like you said, she's gay famous.
Yeah, I mean, the other three are kind of not popular, but the difference between Normani and Camila is kind of the difference at the core of this episode. You know, like one of them has actual shooters but doesn't have anything to work with, and one of them is like serving a lot of content to the public that everyone really hates.
Yeah, I think that Camila is like much more successful when she embraces her theater kid energy. I mean, I'm just nebulously calling it that, like the Quizmas video. Even that is like much more charming when she does stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really charming when she gives like indie girl kind of cursive singing. Yeah, I like that a lot. And I like, you know, I would get a lot of content of hers when she was in her like Latina phase and kind of dressed like the kind of dancing red dress girl emoji a little bit. Yeah. Like that was more like Senorita,
that was like her thing.
I feel like
such a good song as well.
Yeah. Well, she could have been like Becky G level famous, because I feel like Becky G, obviously, like another weird, she's like an X Factor person, right?
Something like that.
She's really big in Latin America, which is super random.
Yeah, she performed at the Oscars, the fucking Flaming Hot Cheetos.
She did. But that's the thing, Camila Cabello could have just done that, like just won Oscars for writing like Mexican Pixar movie like theme songs and like.
I think she's a self-hating Latina though.
Camila Cabello?
She kind of gives self-hating Latina though.
Yeah. Didn't she cross the border walking? Is that?
Yeah, I sent that to the group chat today.
That's crazy.
She's Mexican and she's Cuban. But yeah, I actually was really curious about...
The Cuban side is really pulling, I feel
that,
like.
Yeah, that aspect of her, I guess, identity and career, because her single that she keeps teasing, I Love It, is produced by El Guincho, I think is how you say it, who's Rosalia's longtime producer. So it's like really clear that she saw another girl who speaks Spanish ascend to the global stage, having alternative cues with Motomami, et cetera. And then literally hired her like longtime producer.
Yeah, you're right. I totally forgot about the Rosalia dimension of this conversation. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because people sometimes call like Rosalia colonizer and stuff like that. Because she's from Spain and she like references, I guess, like reggaeton and stuff a lot.
Yeah.
But then obviously Camila is like from Latin America. But when she does it, people are like, ooh, still.
But what's kind of funny is like she should have gone into more of that direction, because I feel like right now, like Latin American alternative is having such a moment, like especially with like creative directors, like people are loving like the Mexico City, like alternative, like aesthetics where it's like kind of like silver grills and like face tattoos and like spiky hair or something, right? Like El Chopo, like punks of Mexico City is very like in right now. I feel like
that's so real.
That could have been something that Camila Cabello could have like leaned into if she wanted to have like an authentic but alt rebrand. Like I don't know why she went like the hyper pop kind of Y2K like IMG direction, you know?
Yeah, because it's like you can still tap into that sound, but doing it basically the Latin way. But I mean, I guess everything would have been different if this song was sung in Spanish, to be honest. I think people would have been like, this is so sick. And then they would have been like, she's ripping off Isabella Love Story. But yeah, I think it would have been much probably better received.
Yeah, it would have felt more authentic. Yeah. I don't know. I was really interested in the question you asked, Viz, about like how do we feel about like rebrands in general?
Yeah, I actually am really curious to get you guys' thoughts on this, because like how are we feeling about rebrands these days? Because it feels like everything is a rebrand. Obviously, Alexi, I feel like you're probably know a lot about rebrands coming from K-pop, but
yeah,
I'm curious, like, can you just have a brand now? And obviously, like, we're specifically talking about musicians and pop stars, and the rebrand is really essential for their craft, I guess, because it indicates like new album cycles and new eras, which allows for like deeper lore and deeper, I think, fan connection, to be honest. But yeah, how do you guys feel about rebrands? Can you have a good rebrand these days? Like, obviously you can, but I don't know, just
it's getting to be a little hard to keep up with.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little hard to keep up with everybody's rebrands and like why everyone cleared their Instagram and like, yeah, it's getting a little tired. And also, I mean, I guess it generally just speaks to the fact that like personal brand is far more profitable than like standalone artistic works, mm-hmm. you know, like the, not to sound like basic, almost like kind of crotchety hipster take, but like, why aren't they spending all of this time like honing their actual craft and like making the song as good as possible, you know what I mean? Instead of just dumping like millions of dollars into like creative teams that are gonna put you in like pleather pants and like a thong, you know? It's like, make the song good. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, well,
you know?
Your vocals. Yeah, that's very real. It just all feels like an exercise in packaging.